Okay, now that the technical stuff is out of the way, thank you. And God bless you. And Happy New Year and all that. You know, it's interesting because just thinking about the new year, and of course, people want to do New Year's resolutions or whatever to try to review how they've been, what they could do. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but it's interesting because there's also people look back on the past year and try to compare it to how they predict that the new year is going to be. So they look at their prediction from last year and decide, well, we pretty much got it here and here. We totally missed it over here and here and all these different things and compare all that. But as the saying goes, prediction is very difficult, especially when it's about the future. So the idea being that maybe we don't know what's going to happen 3 weeks ago from next Tuesday and so on and so forth, but we can predict, we can control our future. I know that sounds pretty radical, but we can do it. But it requires two things that we need to work on. Okay. One, we have to remember what God has given us. We got some great notifications and reminders of that just now. And two, we got to believe it. Now, so that's the teaching. God bless. No, but, and it's very, very simple. And we know that. We're probably going to go through some verses that you know and you've heard before and, maybe even have them memorized and all that stuff. And that's great. But it's really important that we remember what God has already given us. And it's important because we can affect things, we can affect lives of other people, our own lives, situations, circumstances, and everything else by our believing. But first, we have to remember what we have. And, sitting here tonight, this is great. We've got everybody's here. They've got the Bibles in front of you, maybe, or your phone or whatever you're looking at there. And, it's great to have that. And we're in that frame of mind. But sometimes we're not in that frame of mind. Sometimes maybe we get some news, bad news, or good news, or weird news, or no news, or something. And we're just trying to figure, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? And it's easy for us to get distracted from what we already have. It's kind of, but it's almost, we shouldn't have that problem. Think of it this way. Remember the Superman, remember the show Superman, Clark Kent, So his Clark Kent's there working at the Daily News thing or what, the Daily Planet, and he's going along, and then he looks on the TV and he sees there's this big problem happening downtown and this big fire and all these people are there. Oh my God, there's Lois. I gotta get there. Wait, I got he runs downstairs. I gotta get the bus. I can't get the bus. How about the taxi? How about wait, I gotta get this. I gotta have the right change. What am I gonna oh wait, I can fly. I mean, it's kind of that silly for us to not remember what we already have in Christ. So we're going to touch on a couple of things, not everything, obviously, but to just things that we need to remember. We need to remember these things when it's convenient and maybe when it's not convenient. Maybe when things that we're actually getting information from people or situations or circumstances that are contradicting this information. But as we heard tonight, and I think we're all pretty well convinced that God means what he says and he says what he means. And he says he's going to do something, he does it. And he's already done a lot. Okay. So one of the first things we have to look at, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And once again, these are just some highlight things that we could hit a little bit, and there's many more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to take it in verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "For he," and that's he is God, "hath made him," that him is Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin," Jesus Christ knew no sin, "that we might or would be made the righteousness of God in him." God did this for us, okay? Even I'm not old enough. I wasn't there when it happened. Okay, this has happened way in the past, my past. It's done. There's none of us have time machines. We can't go back and change it. But that means we are righteous. The righteousness of God. Now, it didn't say the righteousness of some pretty good people, and you're pretty much okay except for these two areas. No. We're righteous, the righteousness of God. That means literally the ability to be able to stand in front of God without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. And we never do that, right? Oh, wait, the word says put away lying. No, hey, sometimes we do that. We can demonstrate, oh, Jim, you screwed this up again. Ah, what's wrong with you? Okay. But okay, maybe I screwed something up, but I'm still righteous. And it's important that we remember that. No matter what anybody says, including your own head, anybody says or does or writes or anything else, you are righteous because God did that. I didn't do it. You didn't do it, but God did it. So we need to remember that and keep this in our minds, even when we're trying to get talked out of it. We are righteous. You could have the worst day in the world. Everything went wrong. You could make a whole list of it and just the only thing I can be thankful for is that the day is over. And that's okay. Sometimes we can just be thankful for that. But we are righteous because God says that. He did it. He did it. So that's one thing. Take a look at 1 Corinthians. Go back a book. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. Now, one of the things is I'm taking these verses and just giving them to you. It would be good if you're writing these down or whatever to go back and read the context of these because that'll give you much more understanding here that maybe you already have. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it goes through a lot of things that people were doing that were not good. But in verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But in contrast, you're washed, you're sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, there's a lot there, and we could spend hours on that. But literally, sanctified means, it's a fancy word. It's like, oh, sanctified. Well, excuse me. Well, you are sanctified. What that literally means, you're set apart from the common lot, okay? Set apart from the common lot. Suppose you had a gravel driveway. And you go out in the gravel driveway, it snowed, okay? Or Rudy's, it sh snowed. So he's shoveling or plowing the driveway, and all this gravel's coming up. And all of a sudden, you see a ruby. There it is, right there in the driveway, a ruby. You just go, oh, I'll shove that off to the side. Oh, no, you don't. You go, wait a minute, I'm picking that puppy up. I'm going to put that in my pocket or whatever, put it in the safe or something like that. You set it apart because of its value. We are set apart because of our value to God. God did this for us. We are valuable. You're righteous and you're valuable to God. Okay. Don't ever think, and it's easy to get into this type of thinking, well, maybe I'll go pray next week. God's not going to listen to me now with all the screwing up that I've been doing. No. That's exactly wrong. I am valuable. I am valuable. Do you think that if the vice president goes into the president's office, he goes, wait a minute, I'm doing Wordle. I'll talk to you in a little bit. No, I don't think so. I think he comes in, hey, oh, what's up? He stops what he's doing to pay attention. God literally doesn't have to stop what he's doing, but he's paying attention to us because we're sanctified. We are set apart from the common lot. Okay, and that's important to know that. That's not being, very too thinking too highly of yourself. Thinking of yourself, what the word says, most of the time, we don't even get to that point, as opposed to getting too far beyond it. What the word says it, it's true. So we're sanctified. The other thing it says is we're justified, right? Didn't say that. It said we're justified. What does justified mean? Good definition of that is just as if I'd never sinned. Doesn't say I never sinned. We don't have to have a teaching on that. But it does say that it's just, there's no consequences, okay? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no consequences, okay? We sin, we go to God, we get forgiven right back in there again. But it's for our heads. We're already there. We were already righteous. We were already sanctified. We were already justified. But sometimes we just got to get it back into our heads. A good way to do it, here's a secret. A good way to do it. Read the Bible. Okay? I know that sounds silly, but it's true. These are things we need to remember. We need to remember. Take a look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. near the back of the Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st Peter, chapter 1. 1st Peter, I'm getting there. Here we go. 2nd Peter, got to be close. 1st Peter, chapter 1. Here we go. 1st Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. Okay. Now, this is interesting now, thinking about that. 1 Peter 1:18, chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Wow, look at that. Okay, now, Poindra is talking about gold. Gold prices are going up, so people are selling their gold and stuff, you know, and gold's valuable, so is silver. But it says we were not redeemed with those things. We're redeemed. We're bought back. Because you know something? From the day we were born until the day we got born again, we were under the thumb of the devil. He had the property of the devil right on the back of the shirt. There it is. Okay, that's it. You just go around. And I'll just deal with you any way you want to. But then we did Romans 10:9. We heard about that. We've confessed with the mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in our heart God raised him from the dead. Done, redeemed, bought back. That's it. That shirt comes off. New one goes on. Property of God. Don't touch. Don't mess with this guy. Okay. Okay. That's what it is. That's who we are. We need to remember that. You know, sometimes we'll get into some things, some little keys and things that you can use to do that, to continue to remind ourselves, because we need to be reminded. Okay. But we weren't redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation. That doesn't mean talk. Conversation means your behavior, the way you conduct yourself. Received by tradition from your fathers. You ever heard that one? Oh, well, this is the way so and so did it way back in whenever, you know, and this is must be true because it's always been true. You know, I spoke to somebody the other day. This person had a need. And so I said, "Could I pray for you?" And she said, "Well, yeah, but prayers never work for me." Now, just hit the pause button. You know, I know you're jumping at the gun on this one, but, and I did too. But I thought, right, because probably her past experience, people said, "Well, I'll pray for you, or I'll do something else, or perform some little service for you, or something like that." But she didn't get the deliverance. And the reason she didn't, because she didn't believe. I said, "Well, you got to believe." She goes, "Oh. Okay, that was new information for her. That was new information for her, and it worked." Okay, but the point is that sometimes we have past experiences, like what happened last year, you know, the classic, the classic. Well, you know, it's flu season. Who the heck decided that? Okay, probably the people that have the flu medicine. Okay, but why does that have to be flu season? Or this always happens? Well, no, it doesn't always happen because you haven't always been around, so you don't always know. Okay, but we accept this stuff because it's, quote, tried and true information. If it contradicts what the word says, it's wrong. It's just a really long-lasting lie. Okay, that's all. But we need to remember, what does the word say? Regardless of what 9 out of 10 dentists say, or whatever else there is, or the tradition it says, you know, that's it. Okay. So literally, it's let's keep going here. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily or truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God had this planned way back before Genesis 1:1, maybe Genesis 1:2 or something, I don't know. But sometime there, that you want to talk about tradition, that's God's tradition. That precedes or supersedes everything else that you've had in the past. Okay, no matter how many long years it's been or what's accepted wisdom. God's wisdom is true. Anything else that contradicts it, it's not. So don't worry about it. We don't have to worry about that. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we're redeemed, we're justified, we're righteous, we're sanctified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Okay, you know these verses, but Let's look at it anyway again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, the therefore, you'd have to read the previous verses to see what's there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. That spirit in you is a new creation. It wasn't there before you were born again, and it's there now. And you didn't pick it up at Amazon. God put it in there, okay? Old things are passed away. Your Bible says, behold, all things are become new. Not everything's new, but the idea is new things have come with that spirit, okay? And all the new things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Wait a minute, wait a minute. This is almost like too much. Okay. First of all, we're reconciled to God. Were we together with God before we got born again? I can tell you I wasn't, okay? You guys can make your own decisions here, but I wasn't, okay? On the other hand, we were reconciled, brought back together that which had been separated to reconcile, okay? Brought back together that which is separate. And it says it's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So if somebody goes, what are you, a minister? You can say, yeah, I minister reconciliation to people. Now, maybe you don't have a gift ministry, and that's a separate subject, but God's given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Guess what that means? If somebody over there, old Joe and old Sally, if they're going to get to God, we're the ones that are going to show them how to do it. Romans 10:9. Okay, now maybe that's all you show them, maybe that's all you know, but we're the ones that do that. Jesus Christ isn't here to do that anymore. He's in us, but we've got to do it. We can't say, oh, that guy, I don't want to talk to him, you know, or that person, they yelling all the time. I'm not going to talk to them. Hey, if they're going to hear it, they got to hear it from us. Think about that. How important does that make you? Pretty good, huh? And to wit, or verse 19, to know that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing or not counting their trespasses unto them. And that's another one. You know, people think that, oh, well, you know, God's got this book. I've got the book out. Okay, let's see. Jim. All right, on the good side, all right, there's that. And there's that, yeah. And on the, oh, look at this bad side. There's just page after page. Oh, no, no, that's not it. It says, he not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, that would be pretty good if you're going to minister something, you better have it, huh? So here it is. It's the ministry to help people with the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Someday, if you study well and if you get good grades, you might think, oh no, wait, hold on. Second 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by, or lovingly beg you. God's begging me by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's almost like too much to handle here, but it's there. It says, we're the ones that bring the good news. We're the ones that bring the good news. We that represent. And there's lots of other things that we have, and we could go on and on with this for, as you know, it just goes crazy. You could, you know, but there's a lot of things, there's many promises in the word to us. There is a book, I wish I had it in front of me here. It's called God's Promises for Your Every Need. You can get it, instructions on how to get it from the Harbor Light bookstore. There's about 1,200 verses, I think, 1,280 verses and 2,000 some odd promises in there. Okay. And God made it, and God's good. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. God keeps those promises. And these are the things that we have and the things that we need to know that we have. Okay. But the question is, how many do we know? I can't remember something I don't know. Okay. If you want to ask me, how do you remember, Jim, exactly how long this should go in the oven? I'm like, sometime before it starts to flame up. That's generally about what I know. Okay. But on the other hand, there are things you remember, things you don't. How do you remember something? You know, something I always used to use, and I can't use it now, but used to say to people, well, you know, when you were in school, you learned all the states and the capitals. So what's the capital of South Dakota? Somebody I know here knows right away. But I'd be like, I don't know, Pittsburgh? They're not sure. But we remember things that we use. We don't remember things that we don't use. So here's the hint. Keep going to the book. Use it. Read something in the word and say, okay, God, show me this. Let me do something with this today. What should I do? And God will have something like that. And as you find verses like that and you get, hey, wow, that really stands out. Start your own promise book. Get a little booklet or something like that and jot, ooh, that's a good one. Let me jot that one down. And then you can look at those things to continue to be reminded, okay, to keep you being reminded. Now, obviously, God's given us five senses, okay? We have Holy Spirit, but we also have five senses, okay? We can use those senses to either be distracted or to be reminded of what we have. For instance, seeing, obviously, reading the word. But you can also use those senses to remember what God's already given us, you know? What do you have around you? I mean, I have lots of engineering books and science books and la la la's. Maybe if I remember, well, this science is really cool, but God's the one that invented it, that's neat. But I'm looking at Dr. Sho-Sho McGillicuddy and say, well, he's a really smart guy. Well, he didn't invent it, you know. As I say, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and ever since that, we've been trying to figure out what happened. So, and that's okay. But, you know, seeing, what are we seeing? Hearing, what are we listening to? And this is a big thing, you know. Obviously, you have to listen, you know, I go to work, my boss has something to say, maybe they're yelling at me, whatever, da da da, but I need to pay attention to what the instructions that they're giving me, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what am I listening to? You know, am I listening to death metal, you're going to die, the world's awful, and everything's made of coal or something? That gets in your head. Even if the tune is really great, oh, I really love this song. But if it's negative and it's distracting, that gets into your head. It does. It sneaks in there a little bit. Okay, so tasting, that's easy. Take your Bible. If it's leather, you could. No. How about we go to Psalm 34? Psalm 34. But these are the five senses. We can utilize these five senses to help us to remember what God has already given us. Psalm 34, okay? Verse 8. Move on here. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, I'm in 33. How about 34? There we go. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, how are you going to taste? Okay, when you taste something, let's say, well, don't come to my house unless Jill's cooking, but let's say if you come to my house and Jill says, oh, I made this great thing. And you're like, yeah, she made Erdbeerkuchen, okay? And everybody knows what that is, right? No. Okay. So, okay, it just sounds German. Erdbeerkuchen smells kind of good. But what do? You really don't know what it tastes like till you taste it. And you take a big handful and jam it in your mouth. No. You take a little piece, right? Take a little piece. Ooh, that's good. And if it's good, what do? Give me more. Okay, and that's what the word does for you. Taste a little bit. You don't have to memorize the entire New Testament in Syriac. No, just a verse, one verse that hangs out with you. So you taste that, and you, well, that's good. Then you automatically want more. It builds your appetite, and that's what taste does for you. Okay. Okay. Now, and it's interesting because God's word always tastes good, if you want to call it that, right? But it's a thing. And then finally, it's touching. Now, you know, it's interesting. You can touch something to see what it feels like. Okay. Babies do that, right? They want to touch everything. And what do? They put it in their mouth because that's how they can tell things. They sense things by putting them in their mouth. Okay. Some things, not a good idea, but they do it anyway. But we're not babies. But we can still touch things. You can be in touch or you can be out of touch. Okay. In other words, in either case, I need to be physically and mentally present to do that. Okay. There's a lot of things in physical lives that can distract us from the word. And certainly, you know, if I'm driving down the road, I need to pay attention to where I'm going and what's happening with the traffic and the lights and all that other stuff. And that's great. But that doesn't have to distract me from the word. But maybe some things do. Maybe there are certain things, and these are an individual thing. There may be something that, you know, Stephen Faulkner can do all day at the dock looking at a boat or something like that. Maybe I do that and I get distracted. Oh, look at that big boat. That guy must have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money. He's great. I'm not. I'm terrible. And that distraction. Well, then get off the dock. You know, what am I touching? What's touching me in my life? And you can control to do whatever it takes to remember God and his presence and his word. And then, of course, smelling. This is a great one. Take a look at 2 Corinthians somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Smelling. 2 Corinthians. And it's that simple. It literally boils down to just so our five, what can we do with our five senses to help us to remember? And sometimes you got to review, right? You know, you have to take a test for something and let's say I go to apply for a job and they have a math test there. And I'm like, oh, I didn't do so well in math. Maybe I should go review. So get one of my magic book. 2 + 2, 5. No, oh, 4. Okay, good. Got to remember that. Okay. So maybe there's things that I have to do to remember stuff. But if you knew something and you forget it, it's pretty easy to get it back in your memory by remembering it. But it takes constancy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are perished. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. Phew. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. You ever drive down the road with the windows open and somebody's having a barbecue? And what do? You smell that barbecue and you're immediately thinking, I wonder if I should use bleach to clean the. No, you don't. What do you think of? Barbecue. Maybe I know this guy. Maybe I can pull in and get a bank steak or something. It triggers all kinds of things in your body. Smell is a very, they say from a psychiatrist point of view, and maybe Carolyn and some of these people that are more versed at this can tell you better. But smelling something can change a whole line of thinking just with a smell, the smell of something. Okay. And here it says, it's interesting. We're unto God a sweet savor of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, they'd had all these sacrifices and they would burn stuff. You know, they'd burn the meat and burn the offering and all that stuff. Why? Because the smoke would go up and the smell of that would go up to God. Okay. That's what it represented. Not that God wasn't there, but that's what they did at the time. Same thing here. You get a good sweet smell of something. It's not a cloying or a different smell. Now, maybe some of you men, but you ladies, maybe sometimes use perfume. Men use cologne, I guess is what I'm understanding. But the point is, you know, maybe you have one cologne and somebody goes, I really like that. Another one's going, I don't like that so much. Okay. Look at the analogy here. Verse 16 again. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. I hope that you never had the opportunity to smell someone or something that's dead. You'll never forget that smell, and it's repulsive. On the other hand, though, to the other, we are the savor of life unto life. There's that barbecue. Ooh, I want some of that. You know what? And that's true. You give everything gives off something, including you. Think about, and we could spend the rest of the night here on this, but think about the very first time that you met a believer. Maybe you weren't a believer, you didn't know what believers was, whatever, da da da, I didn't know. But I met a believer and you started to hang out with them and you realized there's something different about that person. I'm not sure I know what it is, but there's something different about this person or these people or something. I don't know what it is. And of course, eventually you found out, but you're just like, what is it? What is it? Okay. And that's what it is, the savor of life unto life. Okay. For we, as the sight of God, speak we Christ. So we've talked about different things to remember, and remembering is important. But the next thing is we have to believe it. And believing takes a little bit of work, but we can do it. Okay. Circumstances can change, God doesn't. Take a look at Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. As Tony Lorenzo would say, the Malachi Papers. You'll have to ask him to explain that. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 is where we're going. Now, Little context, once again, little context. You might want to read this book sometime. It's only four chapters, so it's kind of short. And basically, it's some very, very straightforward, unfiltered reproof to the people that were handling the word, the temple things. They were not doing what they were supposed to do. They were not treating it properly. They weren't following any of the instructions that they had been given. Remember, Old Testament law. Okay, none of that. And after all of that, in chapter 3, verse 6, God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not toast." Consumed. They're not toast, okay? They were not deserving of anything, okay? But God said, "I don't change." Even with all their bad behavior and what they did and what they didn't do and how it was wrong and all this, God doesn't change. And here, he's still going to keep his law here. And it's interesting because sometimes, because God's not a respecter of persons, right? We know that, right? So it's important that we remember that God doesn't change, okay? Sometimes it's very easy to take our abilities, ourselves, our, personalities and everything else and our actions and compare them to someone else. Say, well, so-and-so, and there's nothing wrong with saying, so-and-so is much better at basketball than I am. They can take the ball and make it go into the hoop as opposed to off the side. I can do that off the side. I can't do the hoop. But the point is that, it's easy to compare, and we do that. Our world is set up to compare. Well, you're this, you're that. This one's better than you are, but you're better than this one. And this is this, and this is that. And you're one of these, but I'm one of those, and they're one of these. And guess what that builds? Division. The adversary loves to make division. And it's real easy. You could walk up to anybody in the street and look at them and say, well, what's this? What's that? Funny story here. I was driving once, traveling, and I stopped into a truck stop thing to go get, wash my hands, get some food, get gas. And I walk into the men's room there, and there was a man there, was probably 5'1", black guy, wearing all green, and was completely bald. I walk in, I'm 5'11", wearing all red. I'm a white guy. And I looked at each other, I said, "We're exact opposites." And it was. We both got a great laugh out of it. But it was funny because immediately you see somebody, the tendency is to compare yourself. Now, this was just kind of something that was humorous, was funny to do. But the point was, we don't need to compare ourselves to each other, especially as believers. Look at all these people here, okay? All different people, yet same spirit. Same spirit, and that's what matters. That's what matters. Same spirit. Don't compare yourself in terms of height, weight, size, clothes. There's a million ways to do it. Don't bother to do it. Don't bother. We don't need to do that. But God says, "I'm the Lord, change not." That means if we get in trouble or we need something, just ask. Just ask. James 1:5. James 1:5. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Hebrews James. James chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, almost there. Here we go. James chapter 1, verse 5. I always love reading this verse. I always think it says, if any of you lack wisdom, me, oh Lord, that's me, that's me. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, lots, and upbraideth not. He goes, you should know this, but okay, no, none of that. People do that. God doesn't do that to us. And it says, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Think about that. I mean, we've got nine manifestations. Use them. Use them. You do not need to say, all right, here's this situation. I got this thing going over here and kind of looks scary over there. So, all right, let me get the book, Prayer for Scary Things, page two, no, 280. Oh, thou creative universalism of this, oh, baloney. Just ask. You ever have a kid that comes to ask you something? Do my kids come to me and say, "Daddy, we'd like to make a request. And this request may be a little out of the ordinary, but we're likely considering this. Daddy, can I have this?" That's all they do. They just, why? Because they know I love them, and I'll probably give it to them anyway. I shouldn't. But the point is, hey, God is better than that. God is better. Ask God. God, I have no clue as to what's going on here. What do you want me to do? What can I do? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Is there a spirit there? Discerning of spirits. Hey, if God tells you there's a spirit, they'll tell you what to do about it. Leave the stupid thing alone or kick it out and get this person back blessed again. Why not? And if God says you can do it, you can do it. He knows. See, here's the other thing. God already knows what's going to happen. I don't. Maybe you don't, but God does. So he's got a plan. So no matter what the situation is, surely he's known from before the foundations of the world, so he's had enough time to figure out a solution. Okay? I mean, seriously, God's got a solution. We need to remember that and we need to believe it. Okay, God, I'm in this situation. I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before. I don't have any experience in this. It's okay. It's okay. God will show me what to do. And sometimes it's the craziest thing. Look at the Old Testament sometimes and see how God got Israel out of messes and got men of God out of situations that just like, what? Okay. If you get a chance, go to the Harbor Light Fellowship website and look for a teaching from Bob Chatton called But God. It's phenomenal. It's great. And it just goes through it. Everybody says, da da da, but God then did this, but God did that. There was a wall that fell and killed 23,000 people. A wall. What the heck kind of wall is that? Well, obviously, it wasn't built very well, but that's got to be huge. It wasn't just like two people stubbed their toe and somebody got a knock in the head. Okay, all the, and God has all, and I, you see time and time again where God just does things in the craziest of manners and just completely blesses all the believers. Just completely blesses them. Okay, First John, First John. Gonna move on here. 1 John chapter 3. 1 and 2 Peter, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, whatsoever, what does that leave out? Nothing. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know what's good and pleasing in his sight? Look at the next verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and what? Memorize the Bible. Oh, no, wait. And what? Don't ever make a mistake. Oh, don't ever, and love one another. Sometimes that's not easy. I'm not easy to love sometimes, I think, in the way I act or something. But you know what? You can love me anyway. Sometimes it's love me and say, "Jim, come on, you know the word. What does it say here?" Oh, you're right. I should do that. Thank you. You know? But sometimes just show somebody some love. Love one another as he, God, gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit we have, which he hath given us. God never leaves you. If you're ever wondering about that, you're in super bad situation, everything looks scary. Oh my God, it's gonna wait. Speak in tongues. Oh, God's here. Okay, God, what do we do? That's right. And you can speak in tongues anytime. Do it all the time, but you can speak at any time. So to sum up here real quick, so there's a lot of word promises in the word. We need to remember them. We can't remember them all. I haven't memorized the whole Bible. Probably, if you have, call me. But the point is, we can remember those things. We keep reviewing. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, read the word, read the promises, read the New Testament, read the Old Testament, see what God did for those guys. And they were servants, they weren't sons. Okay? All that stuff that God did and all the things that God has given us with that spirit. Okay? Review those things, read stuff that we've got, review it. Okay? And then what we have to do then is believe it. Okay, I know it says here, but no, get rid of that but. Kick that but. That's pretty good. Kick that but. Get it out of there. The point is that we look at the word, we remember it, and then say, okay, God said it. I maybe don't understand all it. Maybe I haven't done this a lot in my life. Maybe I've never done this. Maybe I, okay, God, tell me what to do. I know you will, and it'll turn out great, and it'll be awesome. Okay? And just believe that, regardless of any other thought processes that we have that maybe have been built up over years or times and all the experience or any of that other stuff, it never trumps God's word. 1 John 5:4. This is what will happen. Okay? 1 John 5:4. Here's the result, the payoff, if you will. For whatsoever is born of God, and that would be us, okay, overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. Not some of the world, not just the weak people in the world, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Are you ready? Drum roll. Even our believing. That's it. Even our faith, even our believing. We can be conqueror with God's word. God's word says we're more than conquerors. But if we don't walk out on the word, then we won't see it in our lives. We can be more than conquerors. It means there'll be things in our lives that we'll need to conquer. And that's okay. We conquer by applying the word, by teaching, looking at two simple things, what's available, what God has given us already, and having to believe it. Okay? It's that simple. God, thank you for your word and for all that you've given us and for everything that you made available to us, God. And thank you that we could still do this and still work on it. And maybe we don't get it perfect, but you cover us when we need covering and you love us. And we can show that love to other people as we continue to show forth your word and just love people with it and show them how great you are because you can show it in our lives. So, God, thanks for that and for a wonderful night for everybody here. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.